Yo, gorillas, welcome to the next episode of the Athlete Insider podcast by Garnation. My name is Phil, and today we have a special episode. We have the first female athlete in the podcast, and I'm really, really happy to have you here, Iris. Let me shortly introduce you. You are one of the most passionate persons that I know in this sport. It really feels that you're taking your whole life and putting it on the sports calisthenics, and we just received your study, your bachelor thesis, and you wrote it over calisthenics. You're an extremely strong competitive athlete, and you're one of the heads of the successful event series World of Bar Heroes. So yeah, I'm really, really happy to have you here, Iris Weisenberg.
Thanks for having me.
Perfect. So let's start the episode. You're on a birthday party and somebody approaches you and you don't know this person. How do you present yourself? What do you do? Like, who are you, Iris?
So, I'm Iris. I'm 22 years old and I currently live in Vienna. I study international business administration with a focus on digital marketing and innovation management. So I come from a kind of economic side, so to say. I've been doing my whole life sports. I studied, like in the past, I did a lot of gymnastics for I think like 13 years or something like that. It was quite long, but never on a professional level. But yeah, sport was always important for me. So I skied in the past. I did gymnastics, dancing. What else was there? Climbing. There was a bunch of things that I did. And I kind of ended up doing calisthenics, and the sport is right now actually like the center of my life. so to say, I train a lot, actually, mostly statics. I don't know if the people that listen to the podcast know the difference between.
They know.
Okay, they do. Perfect. So yeah, I train mostly statics, but also dynamics. And actually, when I started, I focused a lot on dynamics. Because it was very close to gymnastics, but yeah, I found my passion more in statics actually, because it's like that detailed work and I really like to do that. And yeah, so I don't know what I would say at a party probably, because this is normally involved in some kind of, I love to dance. So I get to know people through dancing, and normally they, like at some point I get asked about my shoulders or why my back is big. And then I'm like, well, I do calisthenics. And they're like, what? What's that? And then I'm like, well, it's kind of like freestyle gymnastics, a modern way of doing gymnastics. I think that's the easiest way to describe it, actually. And then they get really interested. So then I can spend like 1 hour talking about that, because it's my passion.
Yeah. And I think everybody who talks to you feels it directly that it's really your passion.
I guess
so. That you put a lot of energy in it. And what does your day look like with this passion? What does a typical day in the life of Iris look like?
Oh, so it actually changed a lot recently through the whole quarantine stuff. But it did me well. So right now it's actually like that. I wake up at like 8:30-ish, something like that. I'm not really a morning person. I'm more a night owl, so to say. But so normally I wake up at 8:30. Then I start studying, like the not so fun part normally of my day, at 9-ish. And normally I have breakfast at the same time. And afterwards, well, I study for like, I don't know, it depends a little bit on the day. But normally, let's say until 3 or 4, something like that in the afternoon. Then I normally go for a training sesh, which lasts for like, let's say 3 hours, more or less, plus and minus. It depends how much I train. Like, it's not if I do only statics, it's more like 2.5 hours. If I do dynamics, it's, well, it's like 3 hours or a bit more. And if I play around, it takes forever. But that's fine. And then when I get home, I started a YouTube channel. So right now I spend a lot of time on creating content and editing, and I actually always loved all that kind of graphic design and also like producing messages and just putting my thoughts into videos. So I finally took the step and started with this. And this is normally my program from like, I don't know, 8 in the evening on, kind of, or 9. And then I sit until midnight. Yeah. And then normally the last 1 to 2 hours of the day I spend with my boyfriend. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the passions have to go first. Like,
He understands that. He's a professional dancer. So.
Well, okay. Yeah, that's good.
It works pretty well in that case.
Otherwise, it wouldn't work, I guess.
Because no.
If the other person doesn't understand why somebody's so obsessed of a thing.
Yeah. I couldn't imagine being with somebody who's not into sports that much as I am. And like right now, he doesn't train that much because with dancing, he's doing Latin dance. So like with the distance rules, it's a bit hard. Yeah. But normally he has training until 10 in the evening. So this fits perfectly with my schedule.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
So, when I prepared the interview, I remembered like the last time we saw each other was in Sweden, I guess.
Yes.
When you competed at the Beast of the Bars competition in Stockholm.
It was amazing.
You did extremely well. it was an insane competition overall, but I think like your performance was really it was awesome. Like it was awesome to see
you
performing again, because as a head of World of Bar Heroes, you're not like competing there anymore. You're more in the organizational part, etc. And you're it was nice to see you compete again. But when I saw this extremely strong athlete, and you're doing like neck holds, chin holds, and straddle planche, and like front lever and stuff like that, like crazy stuff. How did you get this person? What is your story to get there? Where can we start?
Oh, that's a hard question, actually. Well, I already teased before that I started with dynamics first, but actually, I remember when I had a when I started calisthenics, I had an injury on my left foot. I actually had 3 ligaments torn apart and an edema, which is like a liquid in the bone. Mm-hmm. So they told me that I'm not allowed to freestyle anymore. And then I remember I was going to the park. It's called the Esterházy Park in Vienna. And it's like a hotspot for calisthenics. And I went there with Dennis Piccolo, who is now my coach, and Achim Gölles, who was back then the national champion of Austria in calisthenics. And both of them are like really into statics. And I remember I have seen planches before, like in gymnastics, but that was always like, I don't know, I won't be able to do that anyways because I'm a girl and girls' gymnastics doesn't feature planches. So I never really thought about it. And then I remember Achim doing it. And it was the first time I actually saw it in real life and not only on TV. And I was like, what the hell is going on? And I asked him how he learned that. And he was like, well, it just takes a while, you know, a few years and so on. I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to be one of the first girls to do that as well. And I kind of got really hooked up with the whole thing. And that was actually the moment that I got really crazy about planches. And it opened a world to the statics to me. And I remember I thought about like learning front lever and that kind of stuff, but I was never really good in pull before. I got good in pull actually because my wrist was injured and I was not allowed to do handstands. You see, it's all based on injuries in my case.
Oh, wow.
But they all had their reason. It all did me well, so to say. And yeah, I learned back lever and flag pretty quickly then. That was actually, I remember, it was my first tryout at Team Alphaba, which is my calisthenics club. And it was the tryout and my first time really trying out calisthenic skills. And
wow.
Flo, who is the head of the team, he showed me the basics for it. And I was like, damn, that's pretty cool. Back then, there were not many girls actually in Team Alphaba. There were some, but they didn't really train seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember afterwards, there came more and more and more. So I think I kind of kicked something off. This makes me pretty happy, actually. I guess I was one of the first ones to do that kind of stuff as a girl in the Austrian calisthenics scene. So I'm kind of proud about that.
Yeah, that's nice. Because it's true, like many moves, when you see a move, I can imagine that as a girl, you like when there is no girl that does the move, like no inspiration, nobody who shows you it's possible, then a lot of people tend to just say, ah, it's not for me, it's not for girls. Like, and when you destroy this barrier for other girls,
exactly. I have a weird way of thinking. I don't know, like every time somebody tells me that a person like me hasn't done this before, or that this is not possible, I generally have to try it. It's like I feel that inner force of doing it. And it's, I think it's in every area like that. I remember I changed my school when I was 17 into a different school, and I had to learn 2 years of a language. Which the others already had all the time, but I didn't want to start from the beginning on. And I had 3 months to learn that. And the head of the school told me, you will not make that. You will end with a 4, which is like one of the worst grades in Austria that you can get. And in the end, I had a 1. So it was like, I don't know. I kind of feel that need of proving people that things are possible.
Yeah.
And calisthenics is just the perfect sport to do this. Because there's like for women, there's so much underestimation, and the skills already are generally pretty hard. So I kind of like that thrill.
That's nice because, I call these person contrary persons because I'm also that kind of person. When somebody tells me you can't do that and it's not possible, I just say, I have to try it and I have to do it like somehow. And I think it's really, really important, even in calisthenics, because the sport is not developed till the end. It's not like it's still in its beginning somehow.
Absolutely.
And it's important to have people like you who break limits, who don't accept the norms, the rules. Because otherwise the sport doesn't evolve and go forward.
I agree.
Because also what you,
thank you to you guys, what you are doing, like there's somebody pushing the calisthenics scene to a very great direction, in my opinion.
Yeah. And also like people also told me it's not possible what you do in the beginning, of course, like people who were in the scene, in the calisthenics scene for years, they told me, no, it's not possible to do high quality like equipment and like mostly clothing at this time. Because in the calisthenics scene, everybody's broke. That's what they said. Everybody's broke. Nobody wants to spend money and they won't appreciate high quality clothing. They just want it cheap. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I don't think so. Like,
it evolved.
Yeah, it evolved. Yeah. And we can influence that. It's not that it's just evolving how somebody like it's evolving just like that. But there are companies, people like you and me influencing it. And that's important. So
I absolutely agree.
Yeah.
And it really depends a lot on what region you look at. Like, I think if you look at, for example, Germany and Austria, in Germany, the market, I think, for freestyle calisthenics is not that big, as far as my research showed it. But Vienna is actually not too bad in the game. And also, if you look at France or Spain, there's a normal middle-class sport already. So it really depends a lot on where you look. And I think there are actually a lot of business opportunities there for companies that do not see it yet.
Yeah, like and of course for people to train, like in Italy, it feels from here, from Germany, it feels like every second athlete is from Italy, because Italy is like so big, so many strong athletes, etc.
I agree.
So it's just don't accept norms and standards and rules. That maybe that's the essence of what we think.
Absolutely.
So you told us what was your beginning like to come in calisthenics. You had some fundamental strength from gymnastics, I guess, and some some basics. What was since now your biggest success in your career, like in your athlete, as an athlete?
As an athlete? Phew, that's a pretty hard question, actually. I would not say that there's like one spot. It's like these tiny successes that you have throughout your training. I'm a big fan of baby steps. So for me, a big success is, for example, when I can do a negative handstand push-up for 8 seconds down without losing my balance, because this is a weak spot for me. I would not mark one competition as a as the biggest success. Like, I think that all the ones that I did were a success for me because I prepared very well. And, well, there were always points that I didn't like that much. Like, for example, in Sweden, I failed my shrimp flip and my 360. And it was, like, really frustrating for me. At the same time, like, a minute later, I held a wonderful straddle planche. So it's, like, hard to measure it in competitions, I guess. And that, I think that's what normally people would do. But I think for me, it's actually the fact that I found a method that allows me to currently have small successes. Don't know if this makes sense, but, like, being able to progress in your training without getting injured and all the time having these tiny successes and getting better. This is what makes me feel successful as an athlete, because I think that's quite a big point. There's no sense. Like, if you only win once, then it's like, okay, the next point is again winning. But there's actually so much in between where you can, like, find success. So I think that's more a matter of perspective.
And it also comes together maybe with the topic of your planche video that you did on YouTube, that it's not about progressing fast, like in progressing how to get the planche fast, but to have it stable. And like, what was the essence of the video for you?
For me, the point was, well, I actually chose the title because I get that question so often. And many people messaged me afterwards that they saw the title and they were like, no, please not another one saying that it works fast. And then they listened to the first few seconds and they were like, okay, no, she's actually saying something completely different. But for me, the essence of the video was that I wanted to tell people that it's not about the time. It's about constant progress, because even if you have the skill, it doesn't mean that you still can't improve. So you can always improve more and more and more. And this is, like, a crucial spot for me, and also something that I wanted to point out. And the second important point for me in this video was to stop comparing yourself with others all the time. I know that from myself, I'm, like, super, super strict with myself. I always want to be the best on it, no matter which area in my life I look at. I always want to be on top, and that's really a struggle sometimes for me. But I decided for myself that every time I waste with comparing myself to others, I could spend the same amount of time on improving myself and focusing on details that other people might have skipped. So I think this is the essence of the video, to really focus on the progress itself and not on achieving a certain skill, because it's a constant progress. Even if you have the skill, you still want to progress in the skill.
Okay. Let's get into detail. What, like, I like the question, what is the hardest move that you've ever achieved? What would you answer to this
one? For me personally, it was shrimp flip. I've been trying, I think you remember when I was in Münster, screaming at the bar because I was so pissed off. Yeah, I guess it was shrimp flip. I've been trying it since the beginning of calisthenics. So this is a bit more than 3 years actually ago. I've been trying it now and then. Then I had phases where I tried it a bit more often and I caught it a few times, but I never really had it safe. And I remember I was really frustrated about, like, dynamics in general, because I'm kind of, I shit in my pants when I train dynamics, I'm going to be honest. I'm just so scared of twisting my ankle again or ruining my wrist, because it has happened already in so many areas so often, so my mind is kind of triggered. But I was talking to Dan Rosenberg, and I asked him if he's doing dynamics online coaching. It doesn't really work that well, but let's put it that way. He gave me a lot of tips and sent me videos on what to improve. And with that strategy, I had it quite quickly then. And having it was like, oh my God, I remember the first time I really, we were listening to the song Fix You from Coldplay. Mm-hmm. So when you try your best, but you don't succeed, that part, you know?
Yeah.
So they were turning on that song because we wanted to make a meme where don't catch it.
Okay.
And they turned on the song and
then you...
when it was, and you don't succeed, I caught the bar and I was like, it was so funny and like such a great moment. So this was a huge success for me.
Okay. And what is the advice that you would give someone to learn the shrimp flip from your perspective now?
I would advise them to especially pay specific attention to the timing. Also, the difficult thing about dynamics is that everybody teaches it differently. Like, there are super many approaches to skills and different techniques to do it. I would actually say just don't give up, because there's no better advice that I can give in that sense. I think to learn shrimp flip, it's like with every other dynamic skill. Like, some you have quickly, some you have slowly. That's just how it is. And technical-wise, I would stick to one technique. Find one person that can do it really well, that catches it always, and that is good in explaining it. So I guess that's the bottom line of it.
Okay. So I guess if you don't have a person near you, you can go back to YouTube maybe there are, do you think there is helpful advice on YouTube, or in this case, like as you said, freestyle dynamics is like a different topic, it's difficult.
I personally never used YouTube to learn a dynamic skill, never. Mm-hmm. A little bit old school in that sense, as I come from gymnastics and I'm used to having somebody lead me through the movement.
Yeah,
I think this is a huge part that misses in calisthenics, where you could make it a lot easier for people who are scared of dynamics to learn them. If you would like have step-by-step approaches, and it's just very hard to program. I like to work with plans and with a structure, and that's really hard in dynamics. You just try, you know. Mm-hmm. So this is why it's also really hard for me to give advice, because at some point it just worked out.
Yeah.
But I'm not such a fan of the YouTube tutorials. To be honest, I had a look at a few of them, but they don't take away the fear.
Yeah, that's true.
Normally the biggest issue. So you've got to find actually ways to reduce the fear, mm-hmm. and have somebody who really makes you feel safe. So I haven't been able to do a backflip dismount for years. I used to do it in gymnastics, but I once crashed on my neck and then I didn't do it again. And I learned it when somebody was really standing there and I felt how he put the hand underneath my back, kind of give me the securance that I won't fall on my head again. So this is why I think it's with statics, it's great. You can find a lot of good content. But with dynamics, I think it's hard, because you really need that physical closeness sometimes, especially if you're a beginner.
Okay.
Especially also for girls, because they're normally more scared than guys. On average, yeah. I would say.
Okay. Yeah. And on average, of course, like maybe. Yeah.
Of course, there are really
yeah.
some that are take it easy. But if you look on the average, it's girls that are normally more scared of trying crazy shit than guys.
Yeah, that's true. Like, if you want to, I just remember that Daniel Flayfield does some freestyle YouTube tutorials, and also mm-hmm. released an ebook. So if
I know, yeah.
If somebody wants to look into it, but as you say, the fear is something that goes away with coaching, like person to person.
One on one.
So yeah. That's the best thing, I guess, as well. When you look at the calisthenics scene right now, what are the biggest mistakes that people do in calisthenics from your perspective?
I love that question. They go too fast.
Okay.
They go too fast and too hard. They are impatient. They want to learn everything like that. And they compare themselves too much to people that have been doing it for 6 years. That's definitely, in my opinion, the biggest mistake. And I see it with guys and with girls. There's no sense in jumping into a straddle planche. I tried it and I got injured. So don't do it. Just as an example. And there are many, like, you should not try a backflip dismount if you feel not safe with swinging. Just because somebody did it and it looked cool doesn't mean that you should just go for it. I mean, don't just send it. That's, in my opinion, really the biggest mistake. They all, it's an ego problem, in my opinion.
Okay.
They need to fix their egos and learn to pay attention to the baby steps.
Okay. Yeah, because people forget that stuff like the joints, they don't recover. Like it can last forever if you hurt a joint really bad.
Yeah.
And they want the
maybe the end.
Yeah, maybe like, and they want the quick improvement. They want the quick successes.
Yeah.
So patience.
I think that's a problem that most people have in life. Like, you always see successful people and you want to get there super quickly, but that's not how it works. They are successful because they put in all the work and not because God threw a gift from the top onto them and it just worked out, you know? There's a lot of hard work for everybody there, and people need to learn that. And because you said the thing with the joints, I think warm up, that's the second part. People skip the warm-ups. That's just stupid. And if they warm up, they often do it in a way where I think like this won't help you. Just do it properly.
Yeah. So yeah, I remember when you do your shows with Team Alphaba, because maybe some of the people know, but you're also part of Team Alphaba, like one of the biggest calisthenics group in Europe.
Yeah, I think we're the biggest, actually. Like, I haven't found any bigger one so far.
Yeah. So and you're doing shows in front of in front of groups of people in shopping centers. We were last year or like stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I remember your warm up. Like, you started as one of the first doing your warm up. You put a lot of
20
energy,
minutes at least.
Yeah. A lot of focus in it. Like, when I say Iris, no, she's not responding. She's doing her warm up. So that's something that I admire, because warm up is not fun. Like, it is no. Like this. So, but you still do it.
Although if you put in things that you generally want to improve, so what I do in my warm-up, and this is maybe helpful for the people who listen to this podcast, is I do a lot of dynamic stretching. And I don't know if people know what that is, but that basically means is that I don't go only like this, but I do this. So I kind of give like short impulses on the stretch all the time. So it starts opening, and like this, you can also, for example, anticipate movements that you're later going to do in dynamics. Or so I do everything with a sense on this is going to help me to improve a certain skill. And then it's more fun as well, because it feels like part of your training.
Okay, get it. That's true. I would like to switch to your role at World of Bar Heroes, because
sure.
You're not only like an athlete, but you're also doing a lot and putting a lot of energy in growing calisthenics, growing street workout, freestyle, mostly with World of Bar Heroes. So what is your role at World of Bar Heroes? For the people shortly, and what is World of Bar Heroes? I don't want to explain
okay.
it. You can pitch it better.
So World of Bar Heroes is an organization, and we organize international calisthenics competition and events with the aim to bring the sport to the general public. So we have a huge focus on show. We have a huge focus on music, on creativity, and on unique athletes. So what we do is we really want to create a battle that is nice to watch for people, that is interesting to watch, and that never gets boring. I guess that sums it up the best.
Sounds good. I'm hyped. I'm in.
Yeah, so also the athletes that we choose normally have a very own style. They may not always be the best in terms of statics, for example. Like, some of them have I don't want to say it like that, but bad form statics as well. But they might be super good in combining it with the music or putting it all together. So we like that variety. And yeah, also when we select the athletes, creativity is probably after the skills, the most highest rated perspective that we look at.
Okay.
And my role there is I'm actually named the head organizer together with Party. But my main role is, or what I normally do is I do community management. So everything concerning social media, if you get messages from World of Fire Heroes, they're normally from me. Sometimes they're also from Party, but the majority is answered by me. And the stories, and I think about the content that we put on there with Party. So that's one part. And the other part is, of course, event organization. I do the whole athlete communication. So if people have questions during events, I'm the one to talk to. I'm the one who runs around backstage and tries to coordinate everything, who calms down nervous girls before competitions, that kind of stuff. So yeah, that's basically my role all in all. And of course, I mean, I'm also a lot into the whole graphic stuff. So if we make sponsor pitches, I'm the one who designs them. Yep. I try to implement my knowledge that I got at business school, or that I still get at business school, into the business and make it grow and help the sport grow like that. So I think
that you're doing a really good job, because I remember a few years ago, it was 2017. I think it was 2017, like the first time that Barisi and King of the Bar didn't take place at the
FIBO
anymore.
Yeah, that was 2017.
And like Barsflex was the company who took initiative, who took the risk, and put the energy in it to let the historical battles of the FIBO continue. And it's crazy to see the evolution from 2017 to like last year. This year is a little bit difficult with the quarantine and COVID. But like it wasn't insane last year, and all the stuff that is organized, you're doing such an amazing job for the community, for the people, for the athletes. And something, I don't know if you listened to a lot of interviews here, because I know that you're a busy person, but in the end, I always ask people what was the best calisthenics event that they've ever been at. And it was like nearly everybody said World of Bar Heroes until now. So that's like a really big compliment for what you do. And I know that you put a lot of heart in it. So thank you.
Wow, this really touches me, actually. I mean, they say that in front of me, but it's like, you know, it's me standing in front of them, so maybe they feel forced to say it, but this really means a lot to me. So yeah, I think I never in my whole life I poured so much love and energy into something. I will never forget, like, time before FIBO, I didn't have a single car ride where I didn't think about how we could do certain things. And I always called Pauly and was like, Pauly, send me a WhatsApp message, because otherwise I will forget until I'm home. And so it's like super stressful. And then the night before FIBO, like before the competition, I was lying in bed, like my eyes wide open. I feel my heartbeat going up until here. And I don't know, I think it was 3 in the night, and I was like, Pauly, I can't sleep. We were just like talking and playing the worst scenarios in our head, what could happen. And then it was the competition, and I didn't see anything of the competition because I was working backstage. I was running back and forth all the time. I think it was the most stressful hours in my whole life. And I just remember the final, when I was dreaming of seeing the front flip rig wrap live in one of our events.
Wow.
And then Ikvan, like, he pulled it in the final, and when he caught it, I remember Flo was standing next to me. Flo is the third person in our team. And we were both screaming at each other when he caught that bar, and I just started crying, and it was like so many emotions. So it's just like, I'm so thankful for these moments. And I think if I would have to name now my favorite moment in my life so far, I would say, was that one moment at FIBO, because it just, that one hit me so hard. It was so, wow, just, you know.
And isn't there also a photo of you and Ikvan at the after the winner's ceremony?
Yeah.
In the crowd.
It's one of my favorites. It's so nice. Like, I've always admired Ikvan, even though I couldn't talk a lot to him because, like, his English is not too good. But he's such a humble person. And yeah, I was actually also crying on that picture. I'm such a sensitive person. But if, like, something really means a lot to me, then you can see that.
That's good. That's also yeah. Strength. And maybe some of the people know that follow you, but you're also playing piano. You love to sing.
Yes.
In my opinion, it's incredible to listen to you.
Thank you.
And you love to dance, and you're good in dancing. So you have so many talents. Where do you take the time to put it all in there? Like, how?
It's hard. Let's put it that way. Like, right now, I focus a lot on calisthenics and to, like, maybe get more active as an influencer, because I would like to work in that direction. And, like, I'm just a very communicative person, so that fits me very well. And being able to combine that with my marketing knowledge is pretty interesting, and I think I could put great value in for that sport. So that's like at the moment my biggest focus besides studying. I want to finish my studies. Please, finally. but yeah, singing is currently not really that present, unfortunately. But I remember when I left high school, my dad offered me to start studying music and singing, and I thought a lot about it, and I think I would have loved it. But at the same time, I was like, okay, you have the option now, sports 100% and the other stuff like 25% or music. And I was like, I'm young and my body is young now, and sports is something that you can do only really on a high level if you're young. So I decided to go for the sport. But, and that might sound funny now, I have that vision of me being 55 and standing on a huge stage and singing.
Wow.
So that's why I still take singing lessons almost every week, actually. So I have, it's like 1 hour a week, and then I practice, like, not a lot, a few minutes a day, just to stay into it. Like, I've been having singing lessons since I was 11, I think, so quite a long time. And I hope that maybe one day I can make also more out of that. But it's like something that won't pass. Like, if you stick to it, you can sing your whole life, compared to dynamics, for example. Yeah. I think there's a point where you are advised to stop.
Now I have a weird image in my head when you are on a stage, you're singing with 55, and then you stop, you do a handstand push-up, and then you and then you continue singing again. So
that would be so epic, though.
Yeah, it would. Like,
it would make me very unique, I guess. So
yeah,
maybe something to work on.
Yeah, that's true. Something that I was wondering: what is the most asked question on Instagram that you get in Instagram DM?
Cool. I guess, how to learn any skill fast. That's why I also made the planches video. I think that's one of the most commonly asked ones. And can I get a shout out? I get so annoyed by that.
Oh, okay. I thought you were asking me. I was like a little bit confused for a second.
No. I would never ask for a shout out. I think shout out should be earned. It's like,
yeah,
you have to put out good content and you will get it.
Yeah.
And that's just how it is. Yeah, you don't ask for something like that. It's like asking somebody if you could spray your name on their house wall.
Yeah.
You just don't do this.
Yeah.
So these questions I get quite often, actually, I would say. And lately, general, a lot of questions concerning skills, because I started doing these mini tutorials. So I kind of try to make a mix of my own progress and helping people to progress themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm trying to get more into coaching and actually help people, especially girls, to get better in the sport, because I think in the end, this is what matters. We need to get more good people to help the sport grow. Of course, I also am concerned about myself as an athlete and I want to achieve a lot. But for me, always the bigger goal is to help a bigger community to create value for them and help them grow, so to say.
Okay. What would you recommend somebody who really wants a shout out?
I would say I would not recommend somebody to do something to get a shout out. I would recommend them something that helps them to grow their follower base by themselves. Mm-hmm. And this is mainly classical marketing rules. Put out good content. Put out something that is interesting for people. Communicate with the people. Try to get that personal interaction. You want to create that sympathy and really, like, being a content creator is not something for everybody. You need to be that open person. You need to be ready to talk to people and to listen to them and give them advice. I think that's a big point, at least in calisthenics. I'm not too familiar with content creating in other areas, but I think that's important. Like the right content and really trying to get a connection to the people. Mm-hmm. That's a lot more important than only looking at the number of your followers. Okay. So, yeah.
When you say this, I have to remember, and it also goes together with bringing value and delivering value. You like maybe some of the people know who listen, but you also worked for Garnation for some time, and you were also yes. like part of our team and of our mission. And you lovely. You still are like somewhere in your heart, and I really appreciate that you
always gonna be.
And I just remember your stories that you did. The story designs that you did with World Banana Day, World like facts about calisthenics,
yeah.
stuff like that, and like that's easy to do for somebody. Like there is a lot of like you don't need Photoshop, etc. You can just yeah. Design it easily and think about something that brings value. There are exactly. so many ways to grow, and if social media presence is important to you.
You don't have to be able to do a full plunge to
no.
have followers. Not at all.
No.
It's like you have to be unique and you have to do something that is interesting for people. I mean, I only have 10K now, so I think I would have more advice maybe if I would have 300K. But it's just from my perspective and also what I learned at business school, because we have social media marketing as well. And these are just very important points. It's always about the value. And in fact, if you're working as a content creator, you're acting as a kind of business. Mm-hmm. And if you want to become that, you also have to act like a business, and you can't act as a 16-year-old dude that has no idea about anything and just like tries to desperately get a hold of other people. Mm-hmm. So. And I know that this is hard, but I think that's important for people to understand.
Okay.
And to find their own line. There's no sense in copying people or like all these Daniel's license copies. It's nice that they try it, but I think it would value it a lot more if they would do their own stuff and come up with new ideas, because this is what makes it really interesting. Yeah. They're never going to be as good as the people they want to imitate. Because they're just not the same people. It's just a different
yeah.
essence.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, nice. So, we're coming to an end, but I still have some quick questions, quick answers with you.
Yeah.
So, what do you prefer, pizza or burger?
Burger.
Burger, okay.
Definitely.
Are you a dog or a cat person?
Dog.
Dog. Okay. Your favorite location for holidays?
Barcelona.
Barcelona. You spent your semester there? Or
I spent two summers there, and I have a lot of friends there. I absolutely love the city. I absolutely love the calisthenics community there. They are like so kind, and like they got me into the group from day one on, and it's, they ask me almost every week when I come back. So that's so much love. And like, I really like that place and I love Spanish. but it depends on the coronavirus, but if the coronavirus will, like if the whole situation gets better, then I'm going to spend my exchange semester in Madrid.
Oh.
And I'm really looking forward to that as well, because I got to know quite a few athletes in World of Bar Heroes from Madrid. And they were like, oh, Iris, we're going to train together. And
I'm like, perfect.
I'm super excited to go there. And I actually really want to get, I'm kind of fluent in Spanish, but I don't feel as safe as in English. Like when I talk English, it feels like speaking German. It's not a lot of difference for me. So, and I would love to get to that point in Spanish as well, because it's such a nice language and just super helpful, like especially in calisthenics.
And how come, I think the story's interesting how you're able to speak English so well. So what's behind it?
My dad was speaking English to me my whole life. Like when I got born, I think it was 6 weeks old, my dad decided to speak English with me because he had spent quite a few months, I think, or was it? Yeah, I think it was a few months that he spent working in Canada. So he had a very good English, and he thought that it would be helpful to raise his kids bilingually. So he started speaking English to us, and it's super weird now if he speaks German to me, because that's normally only the case when I did something like that I should not do. So I prefer him speaking English to me, and yeah, that helped me a lot. And I'm also a language person. I love to talk. No matter in which language.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, what would you work if social media just disappeared?
If social media just disappeared, I would work probably as a market researcher. Mm-hmm. I found my interest for that lately. Or, and I think that would be even, well, obviously as an event organizer. Like that's still, I don't see social media as my only future job. I want to do it, and I know that I want to earn money with this as well, but I plan to do my master in sports management and focus on event marketing and that kind of stuff, because I love stages and I love the thrill of that short time where just everything has to work out. So that's a lot of fun for me. And that's actually the job that I want to have. And I would say if World of Bar Heroes for any reason should not exist anymore, I'm going to go into a different sport, probably skiing, because I love skiing. But I could imagine working in the event area in sports for sure.
Nice. What is your favorite calisthenics athlete?
Oof. I got to be careful now. I don't think I have a favorite. I have some that really inspire me. I'm very inspired by Dan Rosenberg. Since the beginning on, he was one of the first athletes I followed. And I remember when I got to know him in person, it was at the airport in Cologne before the FIBO competition. And it felt like we would have known each other already for a while. So
nice.
We were like on the same webs completely. We even drove in the wrong directions 3 times because we were talking so much.
What?
I got along with him so well. So he always inspired me. Who also inspired me always was Melanie Driessen for her dynamics. And like, she's such a fun person. She's like so cool. She was in Vienna in December and we were having a weekend together, and it was so much fun. I can't remember the last time I was goofing around so much with somebody. It was just really cool. So yeah, she's really amazing. And I'm also a big fan of Malin. So also competing against her was like wow, because she was also one of the girls I've been following from the beginning on. So she's like just really, really inspiring for me. Also in terms of her content marketing, she's doing such a good job on that. So there's more ways I get inspired by her. And lately also Carmen Venema from the Netherlands. She's still, let's say, not yet that known, but I think she will get quite big in the future because she learned so quickly and at the same time she has such a winner's mindset. So I'm quite a big fan of her as well. And a last one that I definitely have to name is Viktor Kamenov. He is amazing. Like, he's such a kind person also. And then he has these incredible skills that are just like mind-blowing for me. And as I'm a statics person more, this is like something, I don't know if this is possible to learn in a lifetime. But I truly admire him. So I guess that these five people for me.
Nice.
Yeah.
Crazy. So the favorite calisthenics athlete turned into five, but I have to admit all the five are like crazy, crazy athletes.
Yeah.
What is your favorite book?
My favorite book? Oof. Now you caught me. I'm not really a reader, to be honest, because, you know, when you study, you have to read a lot, and I get pretty sick of reading, actually.
Okay, the next question.
I don't know if I actually have a favorite book. I read a few on personal development, and there was one that was called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective Teens. And that one was really good because it taught me a lot about myself and helped me to get rid of depression. Mm-hmm. So I really like that one a lot. And I would recommend everybody who's like turning adulty to read this because it just helps you to get more grounded. And it speaks about many topics also, like not comparing yourself to others or taking baby steps. Like, I actually, the term baby steps I got from the book back then. And my dad gave it to me.
Wow.
Yeah, my whole family read it, actually. It was really quite insightful.
Nice. Best calisthenics event you've been at so far?
Beast of the Bars, I would say.
Okay.
For me, like, it's hard to judge on my own events.
Of course.
If I would have to judge on my own events, I would say FIBO, because this was just, I told you, like, my whole emotional connection in that event was just sick. So that was, of course, a crazy experience, but looking at it from a perspective where I exclude World of Pie Heroes events, I would say Beast of the Bars.
Beast of the Bars, Stockholm, Sweden.
That was really great.
By Daniel Fleifield.
Yeah, he's also such a cool person. Like, I love talking to him.
That's true. That's true. And the last question, dynamics or statics?
Statics.
Statics, yeah. Yeah. In the beginning, it was dynamics, but now you're like the dynamics lover.
The statics lover, yeah.
Statics, sorry, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks to my coach, Dennis. He kind of gave me the love for this, and it's the best training with him. Like, best decision I made since I started calisthenics was taking him as a coach.
Nice. Okay, so how can people stay in touch with you? How can they talk to you, reach you? What can they do if they say, Iris, this was so inspiring, I want to learn more?
Well, obviously Instagram. I actually reply to almost every message. If I don't reply, then I just missed it, but not on purpose. So direct messages on my profile, iris_easy. Easy written like the English word easy. By the way, my nickname, for those who don't know. And so, yeah, on Instagram, obviously, I also have TikTok. Same tag, iris_easy. And on YouTube also, Iris Easy, but without underscore. So just two words. Yeah, I guess that's the easiest to get in touch with. You can also add me on LinkedIn, but I'm not very active there.
Can I get a shout out on LinkedIn from you?
I can try if you want to be seen by university people.
Yeah.
I actually only have my university community there because well, there's nobody from, like, not a lot from calisthenics happening there. I think you guys post quite a few. Yeah. Now and then, but I'm not really that active there. It's just like if I get a message, I reply to it. But okay. Since I have a job, well, half of it right now, it's a bit hard, but I'm busy enough.
And how can people support World of Bar Heroes right now? You're doing the online league. Like how can they support? Because right now events, like it's a little bit difficult to say, and you said it yourself. So how can people support you just with World of Bar Heroes?
Take part in our challenges. That's my, like, we are doing these challenges to unite the community. Mm-hmm. And we know if people tag us in their stories, and like it's just marketing, you know, it comes back again to this. I know that people in the calisthenic scene don't like the word too much because it's often associated with only like taking money, but I actually mean this as the sense of marketing and getting people to see something. So if we want calisthenics to grow, we need to work together. And if you guys take part in our challenges and our name pops up more often, it is easier to us to get bigger sponsors, get people into the calisthenics market that have the financial resources to help the sport accelerate to the next level and make bigger competitions and eventually have people be able to live from that sport. I mean, there are already some that do this, but most of them have to be coaches at the same time. Yeah. Like, I think it would be great if a professional athlete like, let's say Dan Rosenberg or Viktor Kamenov could live from competing and would not have to, I think that's the most important thing. And we want to bring that sport also with Team Alphaba to schools, to the general public. So shout it out to the world. I want a shitload of people at our events. This is what I want, because this is what helps the sport the most, and this is how we will all grow together. It's not, I'm not earning a lot with this, really not. I know that many people think that, but I'm not earning basically anything with this. It's just like I get a little bit too, don't do it for nothing, you know. But I would really, this would be my wish to this community, just work together. And even if you also support other events, like support the WCO, support Beast of the Bars, this is what the sport needs. If we support these events, then we will grow. So, yeah.
Nice. So, yeah. You can also, we will also link the World of Bar Heroes, like social media accounts down there, YouTube, Instagram. And I'm really, really happy that you took the time. That you took the time to be here from your gym.
Thank you for your time also.
I think everybody is a little bit jealous because of the gym in the back, because I guess like it's the Team Alphaba
one,
like,
love.
And I think everybody who touched the bars, flex bars, knows that this is like real, it's a nice thing. And
this is the location of the underground leagues where
these
bars were touched by many cool people.
Perfect.
The holy grail of calisthenics. No, I'm kidding.
Nice. So we're coming to an end. Thanks, everybody, for listening till the end. And I will give you the last words at the end. But before, I want to say thanks for listening till the end. I know it's always a long interview, and we appreciate everyone who listens it till the end, who listens to Iris, to her knowledge and to her story. So yeah, thanks for that. Don't forget to rate the episode, to give us feedback, what we can improve, what we can do better, what we did good. That's also nice to hear. And you can tag the person or say his name that you want to be interviewed next. And now I'm thanking you again, Iris, for your time, and you can end the episode. Thanks, everyone. See you.
Thank you so much for your time also, Philip. It's always a pleasure to work together with Gornation in what sense ever. And I hope that this interview was insightful for the people that listen to it, and maybe helps you to get better in calisthenics and maybe work a little bit on your mindset also. And yeah, I hope I'm going to hear from you guys. Feel free to message me. I'm always replying. I don't know. See you then.